I think it's good for democracy.
I'd like to see the greener issues.
The issues would be for the homeless and the farmers.
Well, they've done something, but they haven't done enough.
A few of them need to be turfed out, I think.
It's Friday the 17th of January. Hello, it's the third full day of canvassing in the general election. You're listening to or watching the Election 2020 Your Politics podcast. I'm Colm O'Mungo and I'm joined today for today's episode by RTÉ political correspondent Micheál Lehane and political reporter Mary Regan. Today, Fine Gael, we're talking about social housing, also talking about crime. Fianna Fáil, we're talking about crime. Sinn Féin, we're on the canvas, but also talking about crime and explaining further about controversial remarks by a Dublin councillor that have come to light in a podcast. That councillor has since been suspended from the party. Solidarity People Before Profit had a general launch covering a number of issues. The Greens were launching a policy on air quality. Labour were on a constituency canvas. Aintu were protesting about the deferred commemoration for the Royal Irish Constabulary and the Dublin Metropolitan Police. Well, whatever parties we're talking about today, crime and violent crime at that were top of the news, and with good reason. We've had, over the last number of days, several incidents. The fatal stabbing of a 20-year-old Cameron Blair in Cork, two shootings in St Margaret's in North Dublin, and the ongoing investigation into the killing and dismemberment of 17-year-old Keane Mulready Woods. Micheál P.O. Smith, an addiction counsellor from the Red Door Project in Drogheda, was calling for the special criminal court to be used, talking to our northeast correspondent Sinead Hussey earlier, to be used, and the opinion of a chief superintendent of the Gardaí to be accepted as evidence. Also this morning, Jim O'Callaghan from Fianna Fáil, their justice spokesman, saying very much the same thing.
Yeah, and saying to even go a little bit further, talking about updating that legislation from 08-09, and this time you would be able to use the belief of a chief superintendent, his word would be admissible evidence in court to say that someone was involved and was directing gangland crime. Now, this was looked at, I think, by Dermot Ahern way back over a decade ago, and it wasn't actually finished, or they didn't go that way in the end. Questions raised about the possibility that maybe under the constitution you might need a referendum there. Jim O'Callaghan saying he believes the constitution is flexible enough, but if you needed a referendum, then you should do it. And saying too that because of the fears of witnesses, all these cases should be heard in the special criminal court. Right at this moment in the last general election campaign, this became an issue as well. And the focus went right onto Sinn Féin. It was after the killings in the Regency Hotel. And they had to explain why the party wanted the abolition of the Special Criminal Court and the non-jury trials. So the question emerged again today now for Mary Lou MacDonald. And she's saying that she steps back, she walks back slightly from it, that a review of the Special Criminal Court is what is needed at this point. So that's a subtle difference and a distinction there.
Yeah, it leaves open. The Special Criminal Court, of course, comes up on a regular basis in the Dáil to be renewed. It's not a permanent fixture of the court system. But in terms of the background to the current campaign, the crime issue, Mary, it has come up again and again, and with good reason.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened has echoes, as Micheál said, of the 2016 general election campaign. The opening days were dominated back then by two killings. They were related to the Kinahan Hutch feud, and Fine Gael, the party of law and order, as it would have presented itself, found itself on the defensive in terms of their justice policy. But back then they were shielded somewhat by the focus shifting to Sinn Féin. And I think there's a wider context to this issue, though, this time around. Back then it was related to crime on the streets of the capital, and there was a pledge almost immediately of extra resources for Gardaí in the capital. This time, I think what's happening is in some ways emblematic of voters' wider concerns around issues of crime and of drug use. It's an issue. I was in Cork North Central for the by-election campaign. I was surprised with how much of an issue crime, antisocial behaviour and drugs were in that campaign, in that particular constituency. And you're hearing it now from rural constituencies where you wouldn't have heard it before, that the issue of drug use and antisocial behaviour and crime are really big issues concerning people.
It is an issue emblematic of communities left behind, that attention is paid to communities, negative attention is paid to communities when people are killed. Certain communities feel annoyed that the good work of the community is not recognised, and that instead the name of an address or a postcode becomes stigmatised, and resources are thrown at places piecemeal, for example, drug strategies and the like, when there may not be, or they certainly don't see there being a consistent approach, and that boils anger in a lot of those constituencies.
Yeah, it does. And you heard the Taoiseach today, kind of on official government business, in Drogheda, talking about the need to perhaps create something like the North Inner City Task Force. But as Mary said, it is that wider question. I think even before going into what has happened in the last few days, those who had been out canvassing were saying like health, housing, cost of living, but crime and crime in local communities, that was coming up as the fourth issue already, but this will put it further up the agenda now. So it's a much wider problem. There's also the question too of diversion programmes and maybe not sufficient funding for them in recent times, not alone just Garda resources. So that's what's in focus, I suppose, as well as that. And this is something that Fianna Fáil was talking about as well this morning, is trying to, as they see it, the big need and the big push to create a link between people who are taking drugs and the fact that they, in the words of Fianna Fáil, are linked in some ways to barbaric crimes. There's an effort there to try and get a campaign going on that, but that is obviously some way off. It's not something you can legislate for. So how do politicians address that one?
Mary, an election campaign is not really a space conducive to people talking about holistic ways of addressing drug problems in the community, of dealing with being tough on the causes of crime and tough on crime itself. Generally speaking, people are looking for a hard and fast reaction to what are appalling crimes. And the law and order response is generally what parties reach for in the toolbox during an election campaign.
Yeah, and as I was saying, this is what was reached for last time at the opening days of that election campaign. And again, though, it's, you know, I think what's happening now isn't just relating to the actual concerns on law and order. It relates to concerns around equality or inequality. It relates to concerns around, you know, society. And is society broken if these sort of crimes are happening in various parts of the country, you know, as we speak?
And it speaks to political priorities, Micheál. What community is prioritised in the agenda as election campaigns are rolled out? Is it about the alleviation of poverty, or is it about concentration, for example, on middle class incomes and tax rates?
Yeah, it does. And it's one that goes across the communities, doesn't it? But I think that the parties will still feel that as you go down the home straight, that it will get back to tax rates, and it will get back to that argument around should there be increased spending on public services and on the frontline services, or is ultimately what we always viewed and what we always thought of elections as that there has to be some type of a bribe in there. That's how it works. You can't really talk about it, but everyone knows that. Could it be different now? Could Ireland at this point, having come through an austerity period, but still there is austerity for many people even after that particular point, could the priorities of voters really be different? Or is it something when they're asked in opinion polls that they just ask that they favour public services ahead of tax cuts? Ultimately, are people's instincts always going to go with the tax cuts and more money in their pocket?
Do politicians know the answer to that, Mary? I mean, they probably assiduously poll people and try and seek that opinion. But where are the guts of politicians and the thinking behind parties when they formulate their policy? They don't seem to have hit on it, given the fractured nature we had of the result in 2016.
Yeah, I think it was interesting in terms of their economic policy launches yesterday. There isn't a huge amount of a difference between what Fianna Fáil is offering and Fine Gael is offering, but there is a sort of a tone in how it is being delivered. Michael McGrath, Fianna Fáil's finance spokesperson, during his press conference yesterday, repeatedly started using the term decency and decent society and fairness. This is what he was hitting on. So Fine Gael, under the confidence and supply arrangement, the share of spending on services versus tax cuts was 2-1. That was on the insistence of Fianna Fáil. It seems that Fine Gael will be sticking with that. Fianna Fáil is saying that it will go slightly greater in terms of the proportion towards spending on services. They'll outline that next week, so we don't know what that is yet. But I thought it was interesting in the prime time discussion on the economy last night, when Pascal Donoghue spoke about Fine Gael's policies and what they would do. And each and every time Michael McGrath, Fianna Fáil, would respond saying health and housing, services. He was so on message. We will invest in services, health and housing. And Fianna Fáil seems intent on really just sticking to that particular message. Now Fine Gael is coming back saying that they don't really have any specifics in terms of their economic policy, and, you know, we're just going to see a return to the boom and bust. But so it seems to be sentiment that both sides are appealing to now on how people feel about the economy, how people feel about the fairness of the recovery and how it's being shared out.
Well, yeah, other, from Fianna Fáil's point of view, I suppose that is part of the strategy to try and see, and as they will push for, is there an appetite for change? Fine Gael offering something fairly consistent. I mean, what they're talking about in relation to tax is something that the Taoiseach has mentioned probably as far back as a year and a half ago. And they are trying to combine it with the fact that they'll say we'll have a surplus there just in case everything goes wrong and this is all fully budgeted for. You do have to ask the question, though. I mean, if Fine Gael or indeed any government is so good at budgeting, how come it's not just standalone projects like the National Children's Hospital that they've run into difficulty with? There's also ongoing costs and ongoing escalating costs in departments like health that only now the government seem to be getting to grips with.
But also in the debate, the primetime debate you mentioned last night, Mary, you had Sinn Féin making a virtue of prudence and also saying that, you know, its wealth tax would affect people on over 140,000, which is quite substantial. So an attempt to broaden the appeal there, talking about ramping up capital investment to 9 billion, current expenditure to 11 billion and exempting people from the USC up to 30,000. So they're definitely competing for votes. The Sinn Féin point of attack being primarily on Fianna Fáil, saying they had enabled Fine Gael as part of the confidence and supply arrangement.
Yeah, and I think Sinn Féin will be focusing on, you know, Fianna Fáil isn't going to offer anything different in terms of the economy or in terms of this message of fairness. Sinn Féin is saying, no, we are the only true alternative to what these two parties are presenting here.
But not much time to articulate that today. They were explaining the remarks of a councillor from Jobstown, Paddy Holohan, again, Micheál, today. The same podcast keeps delivering from the point of view of Sinn Féin's opponents. And Paddy Holohan has now been suspended from the party as a result of these further remarks that have come to light.
Paddy Holohan really overshadowing kind of policy announcements and the first days of the campaign for Sinn Féin, this time over the course of the same podcast, saying that women were pursuing men and blackmailing
underage women and blackmailing them
afterwards for money. So Mary Lou MacDonald responding quickly, delaying the press conference that she was meant to hold by 40 minutes, saying this had just come to light, saying it was beyond offensive what he said and that the Sinn Féin disciplinary procedures were already underway and that he was suspended. So clearly this is an embarrassing incident for the party. They've taken action now, but he wasn't a candidate. So I suppose that somehow does take some of the attention away from it. But I mean, 2 days of campaigning really, and they've been put on the back foot by it.
Mary, people are beginning to stick their necks out. Owen O'Malley of the Department of Law and Government in DCU has said he's time to call seat numbers at this early stage in the election. He's saying 58 seats for Fianna Fáil, 44 for Fine Gael, 18 for Sinn Féin, 3 for the Social Democrats, 9 for Labour, 7 for the Greens, Independents 17 and Left Groups 5. Brave man.
Yeah, and Owen O'Malley... brave man to put actual numbers on it. I think it was interesting, you know, if we look at where things are, I think Fianna Fáil is feeling confident and feeling that it has the advantage at this point. Pascal Donoghue, the finance minister, in a press conference just a short time ago, said that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are running neck and neck. I thought that was an interesting thing that he said, because, you know, you'd usually expect a party to be arguing that they're doing better, but he's clearly trying to, you know, put the focus on Fianna Fáil now, you know, saying, you know, maybe there's a disadvantage for Fianna Fáil in the fact that they are seen to have the advantage at this point of the campaign, and maybe, you know, put a target on them, if you like. And Pascal Donoghue was saying, you know, that that Fianna Fáil believe the election is going to fall onto their lap. They believe they're on the way to government and that we in Fine Gael don't take the vote of any citizens in this country for granted.
Right.
So I think what's going on there is Fine Gael saying, you know, hold on a minute, are you ready for Fianna Fáil again?
Right. So also trying to hold on to Big Phil's borrowed votes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you look at it, though, Fianna Fáil have a bit of early momentum here. That's what they're getting back from across the country. Equally, Fine Gael are particularly relaxed. I suppose there's always a danger if you're too relaxed. I mean, Michael Noonan was in the most relaxed form possible throughout the 2002 campaign, and look what happened then. But equally, there's no comparison between those two times. There isn't. If you look across, we'll say, the three ways the party look at these things: hold the seats you have, make gains in constituencies where you don't have any seats, and then add in the constituencies where you do hold them. Just looking at the geography of this, and it isn't the way you should do it. We know that looking through constituency by constituency never yields the right results. It's always on percentages, and that's why campaigns matter, and that's why the last days of the campaign will matter a lot. But going across those three sets or that criteria alone, Fianna Fáil would look to have the more obvious place to make gains. Still, though, it all comes back to that Fine Gael calculation that this will ultimately be judged on the economy in the last days, and they will take whatever punches. Leo Varadkar warned them about this at that big Fine Gael dinner just before Christmas, where he said it's going to be the last days. We're going to not begin this campaign at the start. And in some ways, we always go back to the Ali Foreman fight, the rumble in the jungle. And there's that great line from Norman Mailer about Ali, you know, we'll say gloves to his head, elbows to his ribs, he's rattled and swaying and shaken, just like a grasshopper at the top of the reed when the wind whips. But ultimately he comes back, and Fine Gael are doing that. But you do feel you cannot discount early momentum. You cannot discount that three sets of things that party, the way they judge winning seats, that Fine Gael probably have a lot to do here.
Okay, well, I'm sure every party will be shouting Boumaye for their own respective preference, but that's all from Election 2020, your politics for today. But from now, from all of us, have a very good weekend.